The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, stop demonising one-off rural housing. Not everyone wants to be surrounded by neighbours. If town and village life is so much more sensible and attractive, why do so few people choose to live over the shop? So says Michael McDool in his Irish Times article this week. And joining me now to discuss this is Seamus Gadara, Chair of the Architecture and Public Affairs Committee at the RIAI, and Martin Markey of the Hardware Association. Good evening to you both. Seamus, I'll come to you first of all. Is Michael McDool right? Should we stop demonising one-off housing?
Hi, Ciara. It's great to be on. I think Michael is partly right, but we really can't solve the crisis we're in with building one-off housing. And I think he's quite misguided in how he, in some ways, glamorises the concept of one-off housing. We're talking about historical maps peppered with houses in the countryside, but it's a different Ireland now. Even looking at our census recently released from 1926, a small percentage of our country work within walking distance of where they live. We need to focus on our towns and our villages and move away from a reliance on one-off housing in the countryside.
Okay. Martin, do you agree?
Well, I think it's not one or the other. It's not either or, Ciara. I think, Sean alluded to, or he mentioned that we are in a housing crisis. I think the extent of the housing crisis necessitates looking at all possible solutions. And I know in the Hardware Association over the last few years, we've put together a number of recommendations, some in relation to the rejuvenation of empty homes, and they are bearing fruit. There were 3,000 last year, and hopefully there'll be 5,000-6,000 this year, and in I think 7 of the 26 counties, there'll be the single largest form of housing. Likewise, above the shops, there's another potential 30,000 units there, perhaps 5,000 a year over the next 6 years or 7 years. And the other part of the volume, and I think it's a very compelling argument, is to increase the number of one-off houses. At the moment, it's about 6,000 units. If you go back to 2006, we had 23,000 one-off houses built. So there's a huge potential in the marketplace for one-off houses. And we estimate it could deliver another 5,000-6,000 units per year at a minimum. So between the three of those, and I said, it's not an either or, it's looking at all all the potentials in housing. So between the three of them, that's about 15,000 extra units per year.
Yeah. Seamus, what do you say to that? It isn't either or, that one-off housing is one strand maybe of housing provision. And Michael McDool makes the point that, you know, we hear about one-off housing being bad in terms of emissions and car journeys, etc. There's no evidence to support that people who live in rural towns and villages don't have cars.
But no, I'd absolutely agree. It's one part of our arsenal, I suppose, in potentially solving the housing crisis. But like, there's three things I think about when we talk about housing. There's quantity. So we all agree that we need quantity. There's quality, and then there's value. I think it's hard to argue for quality and value because we need to plan for future generations. We need to plan for how these houses integrate with our community. And especially when we look at value, the cost of one-off housing when it comes to the infrastructure to serve those houses, but also the carbon cost, the sustainability of doing that. We don't want, and I don't believe most people want to have to rely on their cars. But if we design that way, we're designing for people that need to rely on potentially two cars.
Do you think most rural dwellers, whether they're in one-off housing, Seamus, or not, expect to be able to rely fully on public transport? I suspect if you did a poll of rural Ireland, even people who live in small towns, small villages, would never expect public transport to meet all their needs alone.
I don't think so, but I think those people would like the ability to walk to the shops for a pint of milk or drop their kids to school by foot if they could. I suppose what we want to do is move away from reliance and move towards optionality.
Okay. Martin, what do you say to that? That you know, walking to the shops has a distinct value to people's environment and communities and all of that. And you really are condemned to the car if you're in a one-off house.
Well, I'd say one or two things about it. I know Sean was talking about future generations, but the problem is now. And, you know, if you look at the Housing Commission report of a couple of years ago, they're estimating that the backlog in terms of housing is about 250,000. So, and if you look at, for example, what has happened here over the last few years, we've had a complete plummeting in the number of people under 44 owning their own homes. And as well as that, we've had a huge increase in working people living at home. So I think the core argument here and the most compelling argument is for volume. And the idea about modern houses, like if you look at, you know, some of the sustainability narrative in terms of modern houses, it's well past the sell-by date. If you look at modern built homes, they're the most sustainable and the best built in history, you know. And even in the last few years, if you look at it from a social viewpoint, in the census or in the CSO this year, it shows that you now have almost 1 million people working from home. So that's a complete societal change. So there aren't that many people, you know, on the road, shall we say?
Yeah,
likewise, in 25, 56% of vehicles, new bought vehicles were either electric or hybrid. So, you know, that has changed. So that, I think the narrative has shifted. So I think the real thing is now, what can get us volume for the almost a quarter of a million of our fellow citizens who don't have homes? And this is a part solution.
Seamus, those are really fair points. People now use EVs, new build homes are much, much greener and more eco-friendly. And indeed, lots of people are working from home, not travelling anywhere by car, and having a home that's affordable to them is their most important thing. And we need the volume.
But I still think there's many ways to achieve this. And while, an EV is very sustainable to operate, to run, it was less sustainable to scrap the previous car and to build it in the first place. And the same goes for homes. We have vacant and derelict buildings and houses in our towns and villages. We have grants available to renovate and bring those buildings back to life. And that is the most sustainable way to get people back in homes outside of our cities.
Okay. Martin, do you have your view on that?
Look, I would agree partly on that with Sean, in the sense that above the shops will herald maybe 5,000 units a year. Likewise, rejuvenation of empty homes, again, another 5,000 a year. That's a long way off getting near what we need to do in terms of solving the housing crisis. So what we believe could happen is if the easing of the housing need regulation comes into place, and we hope that it does, that would release another perhaps about 5,000 units. So again, from our viewpoint, it's a housing crisis. It's a volume game, and that is one way to solve it.
Look, you've both made some excellent points. Thank you both very much for coming on and discussing with us this evening. That was Martin Markey there of the Hardware Association, and previously Seamus Gudera, Chair of the Architecture and Public Affairs Committee at the RIAI. Let us know what you think, guys. 087 1400 106.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.